Such a privilege to bring the word this morning, and I've come here trusting the Lord that it will not just be a service time we have spent, but a time of visitation with God that will be memorable in our journey for the rest of our life. I trust that the Lord will do that. Amen. You know, we've been going through this series, and it's the Christmas season. Not just because it's Christmas, it is because the things which happened that made Christmas Christmas are so real and important in the life of every Christian. Christmas isn't just a season, it has more meaning than just being a season, all right? It's not just a Black Friday one. Hallelujah. Now, we'll be talking about some of those things and, you know, learning some of the lessons. And this morning, I'll be speaking briefly on the topic surrendering to God's will. And my character will be Mary, the mother of Jesus. One of the things that as Christians we ought to know by the teachings of the Bible is that we are in a kingdom where issues have their places. The Bible describing said, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of earth and of wood, of clay and of wood. Meaning, in this kingdom, issues have their weights and places. Mary and Martha both interacted with Jesus. And Jesus, in analyzing the interaction with him from Mary and from Martha, had this to say to Martha. One thing is important, and Mary have chosen it. Issues have their places. Issues have got their weights. This morning, talking about the will of God, and how that will relate to us, we are talking about an issue in the kingdom that is of great importance and value and weight. It ought to be a priority, because if I have a hen and an egg, and I'm such a lover of egg, and I'm made to choose between the hen and the egg, if I am thinking posterity, I'll go for the hen. But if I'm thinking what satisfies right now and let tomorrow be however it comes, I'll go for the egg. Yeah. Okay. So the value of the now and the future is in the hen, but the value of the now is in the egg. So if I weigh the issues and I place them in their places, then I'll make an informed decision to go for the hen, because in the hen, there's a lot more eggs. But in the egg, there is no future outside of now. Yep. Hallelujah. I pray that God helps us to make that decision right this morning and to begin to place values on issues as they come. And it's going to be such a blessing to us in the now and in the hereafter. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, I'm going to read from Luke. You know, Andy have challenged us to read the book of Luke. And I'm going to read Luke, you know. I'm going to do Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of the Lord will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. That just looks like a fairy tale reading. But bringing it in contemporary context, that was a real life situation going on with a young lady. And a story that could make a headline because David was involved. It was a royal family story. And the tabloids would have been very happy to get involved. And the reporters would like to run their commentaries. And the bloggers want to write about it. What happened with this young man and this young lady? Like Andy tried to explain to us and to bring us into the culture of the time, what was going on at this time that the Bible was focusing on is, you know, it's gone way further than just a young man telling a young lady on the street, "I would like to marry you." Families have got involved, communities have got involved. So whatsoever happens between them now, there are a lot of people who are going to be made aware if things couldn't go further like it has started to go already. And now, there is this experience which this young lady have come to have personally with God, and that was going to change the whole scenario. That was going to attract a negative press. That was going to bring her reputation into disrepute. That was going to make people to ask lots of questions. However, she didn't as much, you know, consider all of that because of the weight of the issue that have come to her. The value of what she was going into right now, she has come to understand that it transcends whatsoever anyone will think about her or say about her, or have got to say on the media, have got to say in the temple, have got to say in the marketplace. And let me tell you, for your information, the Jews are good storytellers. They can tell stories from Jerusalem to Emmaus at night. Check the Bible and you'll find it. They are good storytellers. The Bible talked of the old wives' fable, women who move house to house telling stories about stuffs. Hallelujah. Mary was in for something very big. However, Mary understood that the will of God is where the weight of issues lies. And she agreed and asked the Lord that everything that the angel have said to her will happen to her according to what has been said. Now, what is the issue here in question? The will of God was to be born. The will of God was to happen. The will of God was to be given an expression through her. Now, when it comes to the will of God, The will of God is the most prized program of God upon the face of the earth. God does many things on the face of the earth, but that which is his will is his priority. That's where he invests his power, his attention, his resources, and the allocations of heaven. They are channeled according to the will of God and God's program upon the face of the earth. Where you see God giving interest and attention is a place where God has an interest to establish his will. I bring to you this morning that in this kingdom, there is something called the will of God. The will of God is God's intention, God's plan, God's agenda, God's priority, God's focus, what God is personally involved in getting done. That is the will of God. We live in a time where God is treated like he's a supermarket, where people come in and just grab what they want and walk out the door. That's not how God is. We live in a time where people think about themselves and what they want, how they feel, how they want to express themselves, what they want to say about themselves. They are so I, me, and myself centered that no one gives a thinking about the will of God in situations and circumstances. And the Bible have got this to say that every man have gone after their own things, but no man goes after the things of God. That is so real. That is so common in our time. Everybody wants to say, this is how I feel. This is what I want. They come together in a group. They pressure the government. The government approves it as a right. And every group and cluster have got their rights approved by the government. But no one in the midst of all this is thinking, where is the will of God? That's the pain of our time. And that's where we lose the weight of things. And that's where we lose the place and value that God places on issues as it has to do with human life and affairs. God is particular. God is centered about his will. And like that hen in that story, the will is relevant in the now and in the hereafter. Mortgages are relevant now, but not in the hereafter. Rights are relevant now, but not in the hereafter. The only thing that spans between now and eternity is the will of God. If a man travels on the path of that will, he is assured and guaranteed of the now and in eternity to come. Hallelujah. The will of God. Mary was dealing with the will of God. And in this life, we must understand that our God have a will. However, sadly, in Genesis, beginning in chapter 3, the will of man was also burned. So there are two wills in operation on the earth. Our reality is that there is a will of God and there is a will of man. And if you carry that view into the Bible and you look from Genesis to Revelation, I can tell you every page of the Bible you read, if you microscopically view it and narrows it down to this, you will see in every page the operation of the will of God and the operation of the will of man. In every page of the Bible. Now, when God picked Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and called him, Abraham wasn't only called for himself and for his family, but he was called as a type of Christ through whom all the families of the earth will be blessed. And in Abraham's family, there was two sons in that home. In that home, the Bible said, in Genesis chapter 21, verse 8, and said, the boy grew and stopped nursing. The boy here is Isaac. And on the day he stopped nursing, Abraham prepared a huge banquet. Sarah saw Hagar's son laughing. And the one Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham. So she said to Abraham, send this servant away with her son. This servant's son won't share inheritance with my son Isaac. That looks just like women having their issues. But come to the New Testament in Galatians chapter 4 verse 29. Putting that in the spiritual value of it, Paul have got this to say. But just as it was then, so it is now also, the one who was conceived the normal, was conceived the normal way, harassed the one who was conceived by the Spirit. What we read in Genesis is now interpreted in the New Testament. In Genesis, it looks like Ishmael just laughed and that was it. However, in the New Testament right now, Paul, by the Spirit of God, was telling us that not only did Ishmael laugh at Isaac, he practically harassed Isaac with every opportunity he's got. And that's what happens in all of us New Testament believers. In us, before we became Christians and became born again, there was a will of man that was rife and active, and now we have come into that which is spiritual, and the will of God is born. And in every one of us seated in this place, for every issue and on every time and on every occasion, two wills are at war in us, for which one we find an expression. That's what Abraham faced in his household. And that's what the faith looks like. Jesus, acknowledging it, when he came to that place of crucifixion, he has this to say. He said, not my will, but your will be done. That was the greatest prayer Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. It is not a problem to have a will. However, it becomes an issue when your will becomes more important than the will of God. Jesus acknowledged that there is a human will and there is a will of God. I'm taking this time just to explain this thing because this is a core doctrine of our faith and an issue which we can't just touch upon trivially. Hallelujah. So, there is a will of man, and then there is a will of God. However, look what God's ideal is. 1 John 2:17 has this to say. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. However, there is a will of man. What God desires of us in the ideal, in our relationship with him, is that we be doers, not of our own will, but of the will of God. That despite our will staring us in the face, we should be able to move away from our will into doing the will of God. Now, Mary, as a young lady, knowing exactly what the implication of having to be found with a child outside of wedlock means, and the interpretation people were going to give to it, she could have said, no, I'm standing my ground. I've kept myself all these years. And I'm almost in my marriage now where I'll be honored for every sacrifice I've made for my chastity and purity. I'm not going to trade it up for anything. She could have stood her ground. But she chose the will of God. The will of God is doable. The will of God is practicable. But it will come at the expense of our own will. It will cost us our own will to not be fulfilled, then we can be in the will of God. We saw here a young lady who have worked so hard, resisted the pressure of teenage, resisted the advances of young men, kept herself all pure and chaste, and about to get into wedlock, where she was going to be honored. Women were going to tell stories about her. She was going to become an example in her community. And people were going to say, be like Mary. And everything was jeopardized because she chose the will of God. So we have a will of God that is practicable. And Jesus also have got this to say. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Our eternity is dependent on the practice of the will of God. How do we do the will of God? Drawing some lessons from Mary. If you want to be in the will of God and you want to practice the will of God and you want to walk in the will of God, it begins with you having a trust and unwavering confidence that God means well for you. You must understand that God means well for you. Whatsoever God wants you to do, don't lose sight of the fact that God means well for me. If this is what God has chosen for me to go through, God doesn't hate me. God hasn't abandoned me. God hasn't forgotten me. God means well for me, because whatsoever he wants us to do falls within his good will for us, not to destroy us, not to put us to shame, not to put us to open disrepute. Jeremiah 29:11 have got this to say. Say, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That was God speaking. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope and an expected end. Sometimes you may not even be able to see what God is thinking concerning you. And that's why he didn't say, know what I'm thinking about you. He said, no, I, the Lord myself, I know what I'm thinking about you. It's just like you having a child in the kitchen and you are kneading a dough with an intention to bake a cake for that child, and the child doesn't know what you're up to. All the child can see right now is powder and water and egg, and it's a mess as far as the child is concerned. He wants to go in there and start to pick it like clay. However, the end game in mind is a delicacy that you will bake for him out of the dough you are kneading. The child is only connected with that dough, but your mind is in the cake. That's how God works with us. He has an end game in mind. However, we are going through a journey presently, and all we can see is the dark shadows around us. All we can see is the troubles around us. In that trouble, in those shadows, in that difficulty God is allowing you to go through, there is a glory God is working out in the fulfillment of his will and purpose and plans and counsel. So every child of God, to walk in the will of God, you've got to believe that God has a good plan for you. Mary knew that God was not going to bring her up to this moment and put her to disgrace. God was not going to bring her to this stage of her life and wreck her reputation. God wasn't going to bring her to this point and make her an example in Israel that will go down history as a young lady who got pregnant out of wedlock. And when they asked her, come on, Mary, tell us who's responsible. And then, strangely, she says, the Holy Ghost. Come on. The elderly lady will laugh and said, Mary, before you were born, we've been on this path. And none of us had it by the Holy Ghost. She was going to be a strange lady in the community. God knew that, and God had to encourage her. Look at Elizabeth. Something is also going on with her. At some point, it became so unbearable she had to go live with Elizabeth. Because there's a will of God. Now, as we just try to round up, when you want to practice the will of God, Jesus have got this to say in Matthew 16, 24. He said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Being able to say no to yourself is one of the great winning formulas in this kingdom. You've been able to say no to yourself. Being able to hold yourself in that place where you are secondary to what God says and what God wants. How I feel doesn't matter. But if this is how God wants it, I'm up for it. Being able to do that to ourselves is us taking up our cross and following. If Jesus had kept his life, he would have lost it. But when he lost his life in the will of God, he gained it. Hallelujah. There are several people today who want to stay in their place, in their comfort, in their choices, and not in the will of God. Saul became king, and the word of God came to Saul, go to the Amalekites, war against them, destroy everything, spare nothing, and come back. And when Saul came back, Samuel rested with God at night, praying and weeping over Saul because God was disappointed in Saul, and the plan of God for Saul was destroyed by that act of partial obedience. And when Samuel got to Saul, immediately Saul saw Samuel. Saul said, Samuel, we've gone out there, we've done the destruction, and all of that, and all of that. And Samuel said to Saul, what is the bleating of the sheep that I hear? And then Saul began to offer explanation. You know, we spared Agag, we spared the this, we want to make sacrifices to God. And Samuel said this to Saul, it is more blessed to be obedient than to sacrifice. Sometimes we spare things because we are religious church people. Things we should say no to, we think we can spiritualize them, make them acceptable to God. But what God wants is our obedience right there and right in that time, right within the context. That's what God wants. Put a premium on obedience and not sacrifice. Trust the Holy Spirit and depend on him, because Mary asked, how will these things be? And the Bible said to her, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the Lord is going to overshadow you, and things are going to go on from there. I make submission to you as I close that the Holy Spirit is there and ever present to help anyone who wants to walk in the will of God. If you make a decision for the will of God, it is going to be way bigger than you. It might look much more difficult than anything you've ever done. It might come with challenges, apparently. It might come with putting you in a tight place at the moment. However, if you take that step, the Spirit of God is there to strengthen, to accompany, and to support you, and to carry you through the will of God. When you choose love above bitterness towards someone who is obviously bitter towards you and hating on you and making negative remarks about you, it might be painful and drive you to your knees in the place of prayer with tears and groanings, but I tell you, there is grace there to see you through. I had an experience sometimes where I got offended. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't something I deserved. I got that, you know, pain in my heart, raking it through, and I was crying out to God. And God said, go back and apologize to the person who offended you. I'm like, God, you know I don't deserve this. Why have you made my life this difficult? But there was grace. There was grace. Walking in obedience may not be easy, but there is grace. There is grace. Choosing right above wrong may not be easy, but there is grace. Choosing love above hate wouldn't come easy, but there is grace. Choosing to accommodate, to endure wouldn't be easy, but there is grace. The will of God for Mary wasn't easy, but there was grace to see her through. And even being there when Jesus was crucified, it wasn't easy, but there was grace. And I say to you, for wherever and in each situation God wants you to walk in his will, there is grace to see you through. As I close, trust that God's plans will work out. Trust that God's plans will work out. When you take a step in the will of God, just trust that God's plans, they're going to work out. You may not have it all figured out, but God have got it figured out. And his plans are going to work out. His plans are going to come true. His plans are going to be your reality. The longer you stand in the will, the closer you get to see the fulfillment of that plan. Mary hung in there 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Everything was going on rough. You know, when Joseph decided to put her away, even though the Bible said that there was an angelic visitation, you should know that angelic visitations come when things have gone beyond the realm of men. He's closed it out. Mary was in a heartbreak situation. Joseph was in a heartbreak situation. But because God's plan is going to work out, there was a dispatch of an angel from heaven. Go talk to this young man. Go encourage this young man, because that plan has to work out. When you take a step in line with the will of God, emissaries from heaven are dispatched to settle the stakeholders and bring them in line. That's what God does. God dispatches heavenly resources to see his plan and his will get fulfilled. Mary did it. Today we have Jesus. Today we have Christmas. She made it true. If you make it true, and if you keep going with the will of God, someday, if not here on earth, there in heaven, your story is going to be told. The book of the Acts of Apostles was not closed because there are several apostles still walking the face of the earth. That book is going to be closed when we get to heaven. That's when we'll read the complete version, where we'll see those who stood in the will, their names documented. The good news this morning, there is a will of God, a will you can do, and it spans between now and eternity. Walk in that will. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you have said to us. We thank you that you have challenged us through the life of Mary, a young lady who, against all odds, did your will. We pray that you will find us people who do your will. Lord, that every one of us here, Lord, we choose your will above our will and above the will of our time and society. Help us, O God, that in everything we will consider the world, what the will of the Lord is. Help us to be able to pause and to ask, Lord, where is your will? Help us to pray to know your will. Help us to seek thy will and to do it. And Lord, for every one of us who is walking, making sacrifices, and putting in the labor of walking in your will, Lord, I pray that whatsoever it is that they are trusting in you for, that that will bring to pass. Lord, let it be fulfilled in their days. Let it be accomplished in their time. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray for anyone here, Lord, who struggles between your will and their own will, who give up on your will for theirs. I pray for grace this morning. Grace to say no to self, and grace to say no to the human nature, and to say yes to God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.